Peacock Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every week, he's the NFL director at fansided.com. It's Matt Verderam. How you doing, Matt?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Oh, doing awesome. First, I hope you didn't have to watch too much of the film against the Bills. I mean, that must have put you to sleep if you were watching tape on that. That's just hideous. I mean, that's disgusting. Is it not or what?
I got to tell you, that's one of the few games since I've covered the league professionally. I watched that game live. I didn't have to watch the film. There was no reason. I wasn't going to learn anything about the Pats from that game, and I already know all that I need to know about the Bills. But I watched the game live, and it was something special.
Oh, we'll go with that. I mean, what did the Pats do defensive? Did they do anything well defensively? I mean, they didn't give up any touchdowns. They only gave up 6 points. Can you not really judge it watching the film in a game like that?
You really just can't. And that's not to take away from New England. I thought New England obviously did its job defensively. You know, when you play a team that bad offensively, you just don't want to get torched. Don't look bad. They did their job. But I didn't think they did anything special. You didn't see a lot of exotic stuff. It was pretty mundane because I think New England knew that it could be pretty mundane. They got the Packers coming up this week. They weren't going to show anything on film. They didn't have to. I thought they were fine. You know, they contained McCoy, which was really the one and only thing they had to do to win that game. And I think overall, look, they weren't worried that Anderson was going to beat them throwing the ball. He didn't. It was a very run-of-the-mill game scheme-wise for the Pats because they knew they could do that and still win by 20.
Were you surprised they didn't do anything at the trade deadline? We heard about him being in on Demaryius Thomas. We had heard rumors about Jamie Collins maybe coming back. What'd you make of their inactivity at the deadline?
From everything you understand, they wanted Thomas. I think they were interested in Golden Tate. It just didn't work out. Look, ultimately, there were all the teams that are in the AFC that are contending teams. The Pats, the Chiefs, the Steelers, the Chargers. I don't put the Texans in that mix. None of them made deals. None of them did anything significant. And I think if you're New England, would they have loved to have acquired another receiver? Yeah, but they already have Josh Gordon. They already acquired him. And it wasn't at the deadline, but he's a better player than Demaryius Thomas is at this point. I think Tate would have been a great fit in New England, but didn't work out. He goes to Philadelphia. Look, if anything, I thought the Pats should have tried to get some defensive help. They're going to score their points. The biggest thing that I'd be worried about right now is Gronkowski. Gronkowski either is hurt or just flat out cannot run anymore. I don't know if it's a case where he needs to just sit for a few weeks. I know he didn't practice today, but that is the bigger concern to me is they need him to be healthy. They need him to be Gronk and not Rob wearing number 87, which is what he is right now.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, you know, Packers-Patriots, I think the Packers are going to have an easier time moving the ball against the Patriots than they did against the Rams. I know people think, oh, the Rams have no defense. They've got a much better defense than people actually believe. How do you see this game, and are you buying into all the hype with the Rodgers and the Brady? I think this is going to be a fantastic game.
I think it will be, too. Look, the Packers played the Rams really well. If Ty Montgomery just takes a knee in the end zone, Green Bay is going to win that game.
Absolutely.
The biggest difference between the Rams defense and the Pats defense, among many differences, the Rams can get an inordinate amount of pressure up the middle with Donald. Okay? And there were two drives in that game. He had two sacks. He ended two drives by himself. The only one is nobody who is doing that. They are not going to pressure him. They don't get enough pressure. The Packers have tremendous tackles, so the Pats, any kind of pressure they're going to get is going to have to be from a blitz or from the interior, which is not their specialty. I think the Packers are going to score a lot of points in the game. Now, that being said, I think the Pats are going to win. I picked them to win because I just simply think that they're going to score plenty of points. I think this game is going to be a lot like the Chiefs game earlier in the year. I don't think it quite gets that high, but I think it's going to be 34-31, and I think whoever has the ball last wins. I trust Brady at home. But Green Bay is going to score, and Green Bay has to win. They're 3-3-1.
Right, right.
They lose this game, they're toast. So they're going to pull out every stop they have to try and win this game.
And a lot of people surprised the Pack traded Ha Ha Clinton Dix. I mean, how does that impact the defense immediately on Sunday?
I don't think it impacts them nearly as much as some people do. Look, I know some people in Green Bay talk to him. The thought internally is that he is not anywhere near the player that there is a national perception of him being. Look, he was a very good player at Alabama. He was a very inconsistent player in Green Bay. It's not to say he doesn't have talent, because he certainly does. But he is a guy who's maddening at times for that organization. If you watch the film that matches up, there are times when Clinton Dix is one of the best players on the field for the Packers. There are other times where he looks completely checked out. And I think he needed a fresh start. I would not be shocked to him go to Washington and play really well. But I think for the Packers, look, it's about their young corner for them. Jaire Alexander is a really good young player. Josh Jackson's coming into his own as a second-round pick out of Iowa, who most people thought was going to be a top 25 pick in the draft last year. So their corners are what's going to have to get them through. And the Packers have a decent front seven. Their problem has been their edge rush has not been great. It's been inconsistent. And Clay Matthews is going to be cut after this year. He just doesn't have much left in the tank. But look, they much like the Pats. They have individual guys who can play defensively, but it just hasn't been consistent for them defensively.
Matt Verderam, NFL Director, fansided.com, breaks down the tape with us every Thursday at 5 o'clock right here on The Huddle, 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. Matt, is James White now the focal point of this Patriots offense? Is he the most valuable player to them outside of Brady?
Yeah, I think that's a fair take. Look, he is the epicenter of what they do offensively, and that's frankly not to kill the guy. It's because Gronk just can't move. He can't move. If you watch the film, you just even watch him in the game. He can't run anymore. And look, he's never been a guy who had 4.4 speed, but he was always somebody to get down the seam, make a play. He just cannot do that right now. So they have instead said, okay, look, we're going to turn White into a super back. And I think when Sonny Michel gets back there, look, the offense is going to go through them. It's going to be the occasional deep shot to Gordon, and it's going to be Edelman and Hogan moving the sticks. I think that's what you're looking at. It's not going to be a big play offense. It's going to be an offense that gets down the field in very efficient manners. And I think that's fine. Look, New England has had teams before that have done that and won Super Bowls. But yes, James White right now is the most important player on that offense, not named Tom Brady.
Has Edelman had a bigger impact than you expected? Because I certainly expected him to come back as a mid-30s receiver off a knee surgery and not playing for 15 months. I didn't expect him to be doing 10 catches for 104. I thought he was going to be kind of a non-factor, honestly, at least early. Are you surprised by what he's doing?
I'm not, only because, look, in a weird way, I think the suspension actually might have helped him. You know, it gave him an extra month to strengthen that knee and rehab and get back to where he's got to be. But he's a really technical player. He's a great route runner. And great route runners age well because they get open all the time. You know, people always make the mistake of thinking that the guy who runs a 4.3 40 is going to get open because he's fast. Everybody's fast in the NFL. And there's safeties and there's schemes. You want to find a guy who can get open? Guys who run good routes. Look at Ricky Prohl for years and years and years in the NFL. Ricky Prohl probably ran a 5.4 40. And the guy was open all the time because he was a phenomenal route runner. So I think Edelman, I'm not surprised at what he's done. He's a fantastic player, and they're going to need him. They're going to need him as much as they've ever needed him, because right now they are just not consistent on the outside.
Ricky Prohl, former Cardinal great, right?
Rams.
Cardinals.
Panthers.
Rams.
Cardinals
Panthers,
is what he's known
Bears.
For. Well, he was known for the Cardinals, though, from when I back in the day. All right, Packers. All right, you got Adams. They'll get the ball to Graham. I like Jones, but there's not a whole heck of a lot other than that, though.
No, they've got a couple of young receivers who are athletic guys. St. Brown is one of them. Valdez Spaulding's another. You're probably saying, who? What? But St. Brown comes out of Notre Dame. He was a great player over there for Fighting Irish, and he's somebody who can stretch the field a little bit. Valdez Spaulding caught a touchdown pass against the Rams. He's another guy who can get down the field. But, yes, look, this game offensively, if you're the Pats, so you're saying Devontae Adams cannot beat us for a game where he goes for 10 catches and 160 yards. Jimmy Graham is not who Jimmy Graham used to be, but he's very proficient in the red zone. When they get down there, New England has to bracket him and make sure that they don't beat him there. And, of course, and this has been the thing with Rodgers for over a decade now, if he gets out of the pocket, you're dead. He can, as great as he is in the pocket, you want him in the pocket. Because if he rolls out and he can buy time, that's when the Packers are as dangerous as any team in the league. He is devastating when he rolls out. And much like Mahomes, as you saw a couple weeks ago when he played New England, he can roll left, he can roll right. You want him in between the tackle box, throwing out of there, and you want to try to get some people in his face. Look, New England changes its scheme every week. They're the hardest team to predict in the NFL what they're going to do on a week-in, week-out basis because of Belichick. But this is a game, to me, where they've got to figure out a way to force him off his spot. The Rams did it with Aaron Donald, but the Pats don't have Aaron Donald.
Right.
So is that blitzing? Is that some different looks? I don't know what that is. Maybe an overload aside, but they're going to have to figure out a way, because if they don't, I don't care how well they cover, he's going to slice them up.
Matt, I get that Sunday night is, you know, national broadcast, Brady and Rodgers, the big showdown, but I would argue the best game this weekend is Saints-Rams. You agree?
Yes, no question. No question. I think the four best teams in football are the Saints, the Rams, the Pats, and the Chiefs. I think the Saints are going to win. Look, I think the Rams are really good. I think they're really, really good. I don't think they're great. And I think the Saints are also a really good team. And it's funny how things work in the NFL. You know, the Saints haven't lost since week one. Obviously, the Rams still undefeated. If the Saints win this game, the Saints are in the driver's seat for home field advantage throughout the playoffs in the NFC. And I got to tell you, if I'm the Rams, I want no part of that team in the Superdome in January. So this is an enormous game. Look, the Rams have been playing some close games recently. Now, that's fine. They've won, and this is the NFL. You're not going to blow everybody out. But they should have lost to the Packers. If Ty Montgomery doesn't fumble that ball, they're sitting at 7-1 right now.
Wow.
Okay, they easily could have lost to Seattle. Denver played them tough. It doesn't mean anything because they're 8-0. But I think the Saints are going to give them problems because the Saints can block. And the Rams have to get pressure. Their secondary is a mess. Marcus Peters has been terrible this year. Tlaib is hurt. The linebackers, if there's one big weakness at the Rams, the linebackers are terrible. They can't cover anybody. So the Saints are a nightmare for them. Now, the good news for the Rams, they might score 50 points in this game. But they might have to, because the Saints are going to rack up yards and points. It just becomes a question of, can the Saints defense force a turnover to, like they did against Minnesota? I think the Saints win this game, and I think all of a sudden the NFC, you start to look at it a little bit differently.
What's the most surprising thing you saw in film from Week 8?
Well, I say it every week. There's a lot of things that surprised me. I was surprised at how well Houston played against Miami, and not because I think that Houston's a bad team or Miami's necessarily a great team, but Miami just blew coverage after coverage after coverage in that game. And you know, give Watson credit. The guy throws, you know, 20 times, he's 5 touchdowns. He was great. But Miami typically, while it doesn't have a ton of talent defensively, you know, they're usually a team that at least, you know, you could tell they're well coached. They didn't look well coached at all against Houston. They were all over the field. And then today, ironically enough, the defensive coordinator comes out and says that guys are going to start to, you know, basically get benched or get fired, depending on who they are, if they don't start to stick to the scheme. So I'm very curious to see how the Dolphins come out against the Jets this week. They look awful in Houston.
Yeah.
I expect them to bounce back with a much better performance.
We generally think about this. This is our last question, Matt. We generally think about this in terms of fantasy football. But is there one player you look at around the league and, like, I can't believe this guy is so underwhelming this year?
Ooh, that's a tough one. You know, I really have to think to give you a perfect answer. But, yeah, there are some guys for sure. You know, I thought, to be honest, when you looked at the Jets, I really thought Robbie Anderson was a guy who, if he could keep his head on straight off the field, could really get going and be Darnold's go-to guy. And it's so inconsistent. It just never, you know, he'll have a game where he has 140 yards and 2 touchdowns, and then he does nothing for a month. And that's a guy that I feel like if they could coach him up and get him consistent, he could be a Pro Bowl type receiver. But he's just never quite that guy. And then the other one, I guess, which I guess is a better answer, frankly, Amari Cooper. And the Cowboys are there for a first-round pick for him.
Yeah.
You watch Amari Cooper, he's got everything. He's big, he's fast, he's a good route runner, he's got smooth play, he's got smooth feet, he can send out a cut. And it just doesn't matter. He just never seems to take over games in the way I think that he could and that he should sometimes. So there's a couple of receivers that I look at and just say, man, I don't know why you aren't better than you are, but you're just not. And at some point, you are who you are.
He's Matt Verderam, NFL director at fansided.com. Matt, enjoy the games, my friend, and we'll speak to you next week. Always a pleasure.
Sounds good. Thanks.